going to have to learn to sing, find my own sound, but that's where I found the passion for singing. And then, of course, I've got, I love Ronnie Milsap and those kind of guys. As far as Christian country music, I owe a lot to Ken Holloway. I think Ken Holloway did something for me that I don't think anybody, I don't think it would happen to this day. And that is, when he found out I was getting in, involved, he sent me every one of his background tracks.
Oh, wow.
And for years, I sang his songs, you know, everywhere I went. And I still do a couple of Ken Holloway songs. So he was a major, him and Del Way probably were the two major influences that loved on me and cared for me. And then, of course, there's David Petillo really took me under his wings and taught me how to write songs and stuff. And then, you know, Bernie Jackson. But so, long story short is, you know, more of the love of the music came from the secular side, but the love of this genre came from those guys, you know, because I just real quickly, caveat of that is that I remember I was doing rodeo ministry, and I thought, well, if I could just take George Strait music and change the words, you know, and put Christian words in there, then I could give these guys music that they could go down the highway and it would edify their life. This is back in like their early 90s. And so that's what I did. I literally took George Strait's songs and rewrote the words. And like I said before, then I found out that's illegal and you're not supposed to do that. So that's what kind of forced me to start writing my own songs. So, yeah.
Well, I completely understand. You know, Wyatt and I were talking yesterday morning because, you know, we had his family's funeral and that we were all sitting around. They wanted him to sing. Well, they were wanting him to sing some of the old Texas country like he used to do. And you know, he picked a few songs, but, you know, he told me yesterday morning, he said, you know, I love to listen. I mean, Dwight Yoakam is like George Strait to you, to Wyatt. He inspires him. He watches him. He listens to him, you know, and stuff. And he said, but to go back and sing the old country music is not where his heart is anymore, but he does still get inspired by their music, you know, and
sure.
And so I think that's really neat. You know,
well, I'm a big fan of old, like Jim Reeves and Eddie Arnold and Roy, you know, so those Ray Price and those kind of guys. And what, anytime I hear certain sounds, it just goes through me, like it goes up my, I can feel it go up my spinal cord, you know what I mean? Just, I'm like, oh my gosh. And so there's, music still does that to me, yeah.
Right. What is your song that was your first release to radio?
Oh my goodness. Boy, you're too loose at me there. I think it's a song, oh, Apple Patty. I can't remember. It was in 1996, and I think it was called Packing Up or I'm Packing Up and Getting Ready, because it won't be long. So I think that, I can't remember the name of it, but there was a couple I released back then with Makeda Records. And I just cannot remember. The first song I released back when I came back was the Turnaround song. I don't know, you know, Turnaround. It went to number 4, I think, on the charts.
Yes, and I heard you all talking about that this morning on the Inspirational Country Radio's interview, so.
What happened was there's a boy, I was doing street ministry, yelling, I was doing street ministry, just walking the streets and talking, and I came across this kid that had a tattoo, and it just said, I fear no man. The problem was he was like 5'2", a little bit, kind of like, Well, I don't think I'd be advertising that if I was your size. So you're about to get picked on, you know. But I more was able to minister to him about what that stood for and how that is. I knew by reading that where he was going.
Right.
I knew what his life was heading towards. And I had been down that road, and I knew what the fruit of that was going to end up being. And so I was real passionate with him to turn around now, you know, before he gets the damaging end that he was so quickly heading towards. And when on that night, Dan Root had came to me and said, man, I got this riff, and he's, you know, bow, 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 you know that. And he's playing it for me, and I immediately just started singing, you think you've got it, Nate, you think you've got it straight. And we literally wrote that song from the beginning to the end. And that's not usually the way songs write out, but that worked out really well.
Wow, what a story. I love it.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. That was fun. That's when we kind of knew we had something right then.
Yeah.
The next song that we came out with was Truth Is, and it was more of a philosophical thought process that, you know, I'm tired of running from my past. I'm tired of running from my mistakes. I'm tired of having excuses or pulling away from conversations and trying to make, you know, have people not judge me or hate me or whatever for the problems of my past. And so that was just like a face-up kind of, yeah, that's true. I did that. You're right. And I did that, and I did that, and I did the other thing. And Lord, I wish I hadn't done that. And, but it, you know, I did. And, but that's not who I am. That's not my identity. And so that's why I wrote The Truth Is, and it was my first number one song back to, you know, ever back.
Wow. Well, I'm really loving your old Mustang song, and I've seen that, you know, you really went up there all the way to number one in the charts, and love the video, love the car in the video for sure. So,
yeah.
What inspired this song?
Well, that's cool. First of all, I just say my props out to Eric Krott, my buddy, who did that video. If you haven't seen that video, just go to YouTube and find it. It's a great video, and he did it all on his own equipment, and I think Aaron's a genius, and I'm so grateful that God sent him to me. Yeah, he's amazing. I would say that where that song came from was that my father is a car guy, car nut, and I think my dad's when it comes to cars, and he got a whole. He's always building on Chevys, and he's a Chevy kind of guy, Camaro. We've always had, my dad's always been a drag racer. We've always had Dutch Chevys and Camaros and Chevy 2 Novas and everything. And he got a hold of this old Mustang, and he just got frustrated with it and asked if Gail and I would come down and help him restore it. And for me, the opportunity to go hang out with my dad and work on a car was huge. And in the process of us working on it, it took about a solid month for us to get that car from top to bottom restored. And in the process of just working with my dad, I started to realize this process was very similar to what God had done in my life, which was, you know, taking an old busted, rusted, disgusted, you know, piece of hunk of metal, you know, and brought back hope. He had a vision for me. He had a restoration plan. He's in the restoration business. He, you know, and when that Mustang came out of that shop, and I'm standing there looking at it in the sun, I literally loudly just began to proclaim, "That's me, man. That's me. That's what God did for me." And I remember yelling, "You know, just that's what God did for me. He took out the old and put in the new. He never gave up on me. He never quit on me. He always knew that I would come through this process and have the value that I do now." And I think that Mustang has never been more valuable than from even the time it was on the Detroit assembly line to right now, because it is through the process of restoration. And so I called up Aaron and those guys, and I was going home from there in Michigan, and I said, hey man, we need some. And Aaron threw some ideas together and threw them at me, and I didn't like them, and I liked some of it, didn't like it. We got back and we started tinkering with it, and we rolled the old Mustang, and it really was my favorite song, and it actually became the theme of our whole CD. So if you see the CD, it's called the Restoration Narrative CD, and the front of it is the before picture of that old Mustang, and the back of it is the after, restored version of the Mustang. And so it kind of took on the whole theme of the CD. Every song on there is about restoration. So the picture that song paints is perfect representative of my heart for ministry.
Wow, that is amazing. And, you know, I love how God can speak to us through what we have in our hand, what's right before us. You know, it doesn't have to be right in a church service when he gives us a message. He just uses whatever's right before us.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
You know, I had talked to you guys several months ago. I know you were doing a homeless outreach ministry, and you have, you know, services where you're getting to preach the word, and it's not just your music, and I know that you have experience in a lot of different areas. If you could give advice to anyone out there that's in the ministry and in the music ministry, what three top things would you tell them?
Wow. Beautiful question. Man, I would say that's an obvious one, you know, that I just don't even want to rehash, that you should know. You should know. Things like you gotta be in your word, you gotta pray, those are obvious. But you'd be surprised how many people don't. Including myself. Sometimes I get in a rut and I'm not in my word like I should be. But those are obvious. The three things that I would say, it just hit me. I remember when I first started getting into ministry, I was supposed to meet Vern Jackson in Sandusky, Ohio, and I was opening for him, and I had a 1983 Oldsmobile with 113,000 miles, and I packed up my family in that car and drove all to Sandusky. But I had 3 months that I was going to wait before I could actually go meet with him, and I felt like God was telling me that here you are, you're going to go sing about me. You're going to go, quote-unquote, evangelize, but you never led anybody to the Lord face to face.
Wow.
And that hit me like a ton of bricks, and I thought, you know what, if I can't do it for real, how can I tell other people to do it?
That's one of those still-toed moments.
Yes.
What? That's one of those still-toe moments where you wish you had your still-toe boots on.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I took a job I just started thinking, like, Lord, what can I do for 3 months that I could get as many opportunities to share the gospel face-to-face? And I took a job as a taxi cab driver in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And I would pray the blood of Jesus over that cab every night, and people would, it was supernatural, Cassie. People would get in that car, and for no reason under the sun, just start talking about God or Jesus or Jesus or, I mean, just all kinds of different people at different times. God would just open up doors, and it was like he was just teaching me, honing my skills and honing my mind. And I let more people, the Lord in that taxi cab than I can even remember. I mean, it was insane. And I think that's a major part of it, is if you can't share the gospel face-to-face with people in truck stops and in parks and city parks, and it kind of loses your power to tell other people how to do it, you know.
Right.
That should be doing it, you know. I think number two to realize in ministry is that, as I said earlier, it is a bad relationship. Man,